In the countless books about the Civil War, the role women played has been given short shrift. Karen Abbott looks to correct that in her new book, Liar, Temptress, Soldier, Spy, which looks at the forgotten stories of four indomitable women who operated as spies during that bloody conflict. The colorful accounts of these women who changed the course of history through their daring, dangerous, and not always scrupulous exploits for both the Union and the Confederacy bring new shadings to our understanding of the Civil War. Again, the title of the book is Liar, Temptress, Soldier, Spy, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Karen Abbott back to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
I think you were last with us for Sin in the Second City, and so how did you come to this subject?
I was born and raised in Philadelphia and moved down to Atlanta in 2001 and was immediately sort of shocked. It was a culture shock, and I, you know, had no idea that the Civil War was so present in daily life and conversation down there, just, you know, seeing Confederate flags on lawns and hearing people joke about the War of Northern Aggression. And one day I was stuck behind traffic for hours in the horrific Atlanta traffic behind a pickup truck that had a bumper sticker that was that said, "Don't blame me. I voted for Jeff Davis." So I just sat there looking at this bumper sticker for about 2 hours and began thinking, what were the women doing? You know, the men went off the war. What were the women doing? Their husbands were gone. Their father were gone. Their brothers, their beaux were all gone. And what were they doing? And I wanted to find four women who sort of went above and beyond the darning socks for the soldiers and raising money for supplies, to women who really wanted to sort of put their necks on the line for their cause and sort of got involved in all of these daring escapades.
I suppose the obvious question, and I certainly came to this very early in reading the book, which is, how did you key in on these four women?
Well, I didn't want to just pick one female Civil War spy. I wanted to sort of weave a tapestry and show the war through all perspectives on both sides and to find four really different women, but whose stories bumped up against each other. They were always bumping, you know, running into the same people, and there was a cause and effect. One woman's actions would affect another woman's situation. For example, Rose Greenhow, who was a beautiful Confederate spy living in Washington, D.C., so she was operating right in the middle of the federal capital, was spying on the Union Army there. And Emma Edmonds, another spy who had disguised herself as a man and enlisted in the Union Army, you know, was being affected by Rose spying. So I sort of really liked the way these stories connected and wove a tapestry of the war as it hasn't really been told before.
Was it difficult to find information out about these women? I mean, as I mentioned in the introduction, and as you indicated just a moment ago, you're wondering, okay, well, where were the women? What were they doing? So how hard was it to find that information?
Well, luckily, the records, the women were pretty prolific writers. All of them, except for one, wrote books. And the last one actually had a journal that wasn't published, but all of the papers were in the New York Historical Society. And there were fascinating things to find about their operations. One of them, Belle Boyd, who was a really interesting character to me, this 17-year-old girl who kicks things off by shooting a Union soldier who invades her home. She was not only a very prolific temptress, I guess, but also had ingenious methods of spying. One of my favorite was that she had a little lap dog that would follow her everywhere, and she would place secret messages on top of the dog's back, and then she had a hide that was cut precisely to fit the dog's body, and she would wrap the hide around the dog's body, and so her messages were concealed beneath this hide, and nobody thought to, you know, examine her pet for secret dispatches.
When you, as you said, you wanted this tapestry. So once you had your characters, was it then pretty easy to figure out of how to tell the story?
You know, figuring out structure is never really easy, I would say, especially when you're dealing with four really volatile and erratic women who, you know, sort of zipped all over the place and had a million things going on at once. You know, I live in a tiny New York apartment. It's probably 600 square feet. And at one point, I literally had pages spread out all along the floor of my apartment of the women's different chapters and scenes, trying to, you know, put it together like a puzzle piece and seeing where the connections were. But it's, you know, it's part of the fun.
And what is interesting about the story is that in most cases, they're not physically interacting, though Belle and Rose do at some point.
Yeah.
They were running into the same people.
Yeah, yeah. One of my favorite scenes in that regard was Belle Boyd, who had a notorious temper. I guess that's obvious by the fact that she shot a man early on. She has a really vicious exchange with General Beast Butler, who had earned the animosity of the South, throughout for his woman order, which basically gave Union troops permission to treat Southern women as if they were prostitutes. Belle had this very heated exchange with him, and in the very next scene, Benjamin Butler is recruiting Elizabeth Van Loo, a Union spy based in Richmond, the Confederate capital, to operate for him. He gave her a secret code, a cipher, some invisible ink, and they started a really dangerous correspondence that benefited the Union Army but put Elizabeth's life in great peril.
You use the words erratic and volatile in describing these four women and the world that they lived in. Tell us about each of the four and a little bit about that volatility.
Sure. Well, Belle Boyd was a 17-year-old girl living in the Shenandoah Valley, Virginia. And as I said, she kicks things off by shooting a Union soldier and then takes advantage of her relationship with Confederate soldiers to get a position as a Confederate courier and spy. And she would go around delivering messages between Confederate generals and also developed a really unhealthy obsession with the Confederate general Stonewall Jackson, the famous general. She actually told reporters that she wanted to, quote, occupy his tent and share his dangers. Her obsession with Stonewall Jackson really drove a lot of her action in 1862. She was desperate to do anything that would get his attention and approval. Emma Edmonds, disguised herself as a man and enlisted in the Union Army. And it was sort of, every day was a journey of, am I going to be discovered? And that situation sort of becomes more heated when she falls in love with a fellow Union soldier and tells him her secret. And, she has to face the consequences of that. And one of the really interesting bits of research was, how the women soldiers got away with it. There are about 400 women who disguised themselves as men and fought in the war on both sides. And, I was fascinated by the idea that they got away with it because people were so used to seeing women's bodies pushed and pulled into exaggerated shapes by corsets and crinolines that, they had no idea what one would look like wearing pants, let alone an army uniform. So just the idea of a woman in pants was so unfathomable that people could, these women got away with it. And Rose Greenhow was this seductress living in Washington, D.C., and she was in a really difficult situation. Her whole life had fallen apart in the years leading up to the war. She lost 5 of her children. Her husband died in a freak accident. She lost her financial stability, and she lost her access to the White House. She had been sort of a power broker among Democratic politicians, including James Buchanan. She actually advised him on his presidential campaign. So when Lincoln got elected, it was sort of the last straw for her. And she was desperate to do anything to regain bits of her old life back. And she sort of became notorious for bedding both Union and Southern generals and using them as sources. And also using her young daughter, her 8-year-old daughter, in her espionage mission, which was really surprising to me that somebody would do that. But that just shows how desperate she was. And Elizabeth Van Loo was the Union spy living in Richmond. And it was a really volatile situation there. Her neighbors had always thought she was a bit odd and eccentric and didn't really appreciate her abolitionist views. But, once the war came around, those views became deadly. And she always wrote about in her journal of Confederate detectives following her and people sending her death threats. And every time she got a death threat, she would just ratchet up her operation even more. It was really sort of, she had a remarkable bravery.
When you look at it as a whole, what do you think these women were able to accomplish? Were they successful in their cause?
I think they all were in their own way. Each of them contributed pretty valuable information that helped their army, the respective armies at various points. Elizabeth especially so. She would become Ulysses S. Grant's main spy in the final part of the war, which only, of course, made things even more dangerous for her. And in a larger sense, I was really interested in the way that the Civil War, how women's roles changed during the Civil War and sort of paved the way for suffrage and all the things that came after it. This was the first time, women spied during the Revolutionary War, but they were quiet about it. They weren't outspoken. They didn't really, broadcast their activities. This is the first time that women were really vocal about their loyalties and what they were doing and what they planned to do. And so it was sort of, nobody knew what to do with this. Women had always been victims of war, not its perpetrators. So this was a new phenomenon. And one of my favorite quotes was a Lincoln official questioning, what are we going to do with these fashionable women spies? They really did not know how to handle this.
In the overall effort, how did they fare after the war?
Well, I don't want to talk too much about some of them for fear of giving away any surprises.
Yeah. But generally.
I thought Belle had a really fitting circumstance. She was insane and had been called that throughout the war by her various detractors, which there were many, and then ended up spending some time in an insane asylum. Emma went on to become one of the first a pension for military service. So that was quite an accomplishment on her part. And, I think that's probably all I should say about them at this point.
Well, it's a fascinating story. It is told in Liar, Temptress, Soldier, Spy, Four Women Undercover in the Civil War. It is published by Harper. Karen Abbott, thank you very much for spending time with us this morning. I do appreciate it, as always. Again, the title of the book, Liar, Temptress, Soldier, Spy, published by Harper. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.